The Work Hindered by Lack of Faith. St. Helena, California, October 11, 1907. How shall we obtain means for our sanitariums is a question that must be solved. Some of our institutions are prospering, some seem to have come to a standstill, and others are running behind. As I present our perplexities to the Lord, there comes to my mind with considerable force this scripture. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither fruit be in the vine, and the labor of the olive shall fail, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk 3, verse 17, 18. In the Word of God I find these promises. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, and with the house of Judah. Not according to that which I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, for they shall all know me, from the least of them even unto the greatest, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 34. I thank the Lord for these words of comfort and encouragement. I will put my trust in the Lord and will wait patiently for Him. He will work in our behalf and make us to rejoice in His mercies. He will surely be the help of His people. Unbelief is finding an entrance in our churches, in our sanitariums, and in our publishing houses. There are some who have committed the error of turning away from the source of their strength to follow devices and plans of men, plans that are not after the order of the Lord, and because of this, they are weak when they should be strong. This is the reason that God has not wrought more mightily for His people. Had He done more for us, human beings would have taken to themselves the glory that should be given to God. God has a purpose in leaving men in their weakness when they turn from Him to follow the dictation of human minds. He wants them to learn where only true light and wisdom dwell. The Lord pities our weakness. He is grieved because of the error that has come in, because of the education that has been given to believers to look to men for wisdom and help. He wants His people to learn lessons of faith and trust in Him and to stand in the strength of Israel's God. Responsible men to be humble men. The Lord has been greatly dishonored by men who have assumed, with their offices of trust, a dictatorial, controlling power. Lessons have been taught the people that have been greatly displeasing to God. These workers need to learn the lesson that however high the position a man occupies in the work of God, this position does not give him power to rule his fellow men. Not position, but dependence upon God will impart wisdom and grace. Those who carry heavy burdens of responsibility can best glorify God and bring honor to His name by revealing faith in Him, by hiding self in God and walking humbly with Him. The Lord can communicate His will to such men and work through them to carry out His plans on right lines. I am bidden to say to conference presidents, do not interpose yourselves between God and His servants. Break every yoke and let the oppressed go free. Do not take upon yourselves the responsibility of permitting or forbidding. This is not a time to turn from the living and true God to be taught of men. You who feel that you are empowered to tell God's messengers where and how they shall labor, take back your forbiddings. You know not but Satan is using your controlling power to cut off the light from some soul to whom God would have it come. In some cases, the workers have been told that if they did not do thus and so, their support from the conference would be discontinued. Let those whom the Holy Spirit impresses to do a certain work believe that He who sends them forth is able to support them in that work. All the silver is the Lord's. He can provide for the needs of His servants. When man-ruling power is no longer exercised, men will be directed to God, and their faith in His power to lead and guide them will be revived. In every age, God has had His servants who were willing to cry aloud and spare not, to show God's people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Today He calls for men who understand what their message is and who will give themselves with all their powers to the service of God. The cause of God today needs men who will first commune with God to learn their duty. and will then go forth to do what he commands, irrespective of the bribes or threats of those who would bear rule over them. Men are needed who are guided by the Lord, and whom God qualifies to give to the people a plain, "Thus saith the Lord." Men are needed who pray to God for wisdom, and who, under the guidance of God, can put new life into the old methods of labor, and can invent new plans and new methods of awakening the interest of church members and reaching the men and women of the world. He who sitteth in the heavens looks with disapproval on the strange work that is being done by those who have exalted self. These workers would have accomplished much good if they had realized their weakness and had placed their dependence on God, but this they have failed to do. Christ now says to them, "Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 29-30. Let our workers now realize that the claims of God are upon them to come into line as humble seekers after God. In the last days. My soul is distressed beyond measure as I view the condition of things in the world, and then realize how little is being done by individual church members to warn the world of the judgments that are soon to fall. Disregard of the law of Jehovah is making the world like the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and as it was before the flood. Iniquity and crime of every order are found in the high places of the earth, and every method possible is devised by those who are assenting to the wrong, that the guilty ones may escape punishment. Gambling and robbery are coming to be common evils. The accidents that occur on our railroads are in many instances the result of the intoxicating liquors that are dealt out from the saloons in our land. In many ways, His satanic majesty is revealing that He rules in the world. Not 1/100th part of the corruptions that exist are being made plain to the world. Little of the cruelty that is carried on is known, but some of the iniquity is being revealed that men may understand why God is sending His judgments on the earth. The wickedness of men has almost reached its limit. Very soon, the Lord will make the destruction of the world complete. The need of the times. A study of the Bible plainly reveals to us the true condition of the earth and what will come to pass in the near future. We need, oh so much, men and women workers who are chosen by God and sanctified by His grace, who will go forth to warn the world that the end of all things is at hand. Only a message direct from the Lord will arouse men and women in this age when violence is in the land. But while Satan rules in the world, he is also working in the church to prevent men and women from proclaiming the warning message. Our church members are asleep. Unbrotherliness exists. There is much of selfishness revealed. Self-esteem and self-exaltation are prevailing evils, and because of this, there is manifest a spirit of criticism where no such thing should exist. And some who realize the responsibilities resting upon them, and who would go forth with the message of warning, are prevented by the forbiddings of those who feel that it is their prerogative to control the actions of their fellow workers. Thus, Satan is working to close the lips of some to whom God has given His message to the world. And if possible, he will continue his working until souls who are convinced of the truth for this time, seeing the inconsistencies of those who profess to believe it, turn away and are lost. Those who believe the truths of the third angel's message need now to make the most of every opportunity for service. Very soon, we will have less favorable opportunity than we now have to proclaim this message of warning. We need today workers who are partakers of the divine nature, men who can put new life into the old methods of labor, and whom God can teach how to reach the men and women in the churches and in the world who know not of the issues that are just before them. Now, while we have opportunity, we need to cry aloud and spare not. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Let God work through those whom He chooses. He will use humble men who, moved by the Holy Spirit, will give a message that will stir the world.
Our sanitariums should be in running order,
so that they may act their part in influencing that class of people who can be reached in no other way than by the work of the sanitarium. Our physicians are to rebuke, in decided terms, the sins which are the cause of sickness and disease. We have need of men who, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, will rebuke gambling and liquor drinking, which are such prevalent evils in these last days. We need men who will bear their message against the selfishness that is eating out the very vitals of godliness. God calls for men of faith and prayer. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Matthew 9, verse 38. Tremendous responsibilities are ours, and men are called for who will not misinterpret their responsibilities, but will do their work in a spirit of humility and in the fear of God. We should ever be afraid of a spirit that would lead us to place restrictions on the work of others, lest we hinder the advance of the message of truth. Those who have in the past allowed such a spirit to control them have sadly hurt the work. They need to repent and be converted, for the Holy Spirit cannot work with them while they refuse to acknowledge His counsel and control. He cannot use the men who employ the trust He has imposed upon them as an oppressive power to close the lips that He has opened. The age demands that the servants of God be men of faith and prayer, who realize the responsibilities that rest upon them as bearers of the last message of mercy to a perishing world. "Ye are the light of the world," Christ declared. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 14, 16. Many, many souls will be brought to a knowledge of the truth if intelligent labor is put forth in their behalf. In the spirit and power of Elijah. What was it that constituted the power of Elijah? "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand," 2 Kings 5, verse 16. This was ever the watchword on his lips, and in these words lay his power. His message was from God. It filled his whole being. Elijahs are called for at this period of earth's history. Today, messengers are to go forth in the same spirit, with the Word of God in their hands and the Spirit of God in their hearts, speaking words of warning and entreaty and pleading with God in earnest supplication. If ever there were a time for deepest humiliation before God, it is now. Let those to whom the Lord has given this message to bear humble their hearts before Him and be afraid. God can use only those who are lowly in spirit. We who live in 1907 have something that Elijah had not. We have vastly greater cause for faith than he, for we have the history of a Savior who came in human flesh and died upon the cross of Calvary for the redemption of our race. It is ours to impart that which Elijah could not preach. The love of Christ revealed in the cross of Calvary speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. The Lord is His word tells us plainly what to do. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Let us study our Bibles and humble our hearts before God. Let us seek the Lord while He may be found, asking for the power that God is waiting to give to all who will seek Him in humble, trusting faith. While unbelief is so boldly lifting up its head, let each believer consecrate himself to God to walk humbly and circumspectly before Him and before his fellow men. There will always be some who will exalt self, but let those who truly love God show at all times their entire dependence upon Him. The words were spoken. Look up with confidence to the Most High. He knows the measure of His workers, and He will send forth with a message to the multitude those who will work for Him in humility and faith.